Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Lamed Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief, formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins the second line from the bottom of Daf Lamed Vov Omid Beis. You'll notice that we are beginning with the beginning of the Gemara, following the long Mishnah that is the fifth perek of Shavuos. So now the Gemara. Rav Acha bar Huna, Rav Shmuel brei Derabo bar Barchana, Rav Yitzchok brei Rav Yehuda, Tonu Shavuos bei Rabba. They learned Maseches Shavuos in the Yeshiva, in the Torah Academy of Rabba. Poga Behu Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana met up with them. Omar Lahu. We're at the top of Daf Lamed Zayin. And he raised a question. Before we get into the Gemara text itself, as far as the question, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Hazed Bishvus Apikodon. A person who was entrusted with an article to watch denied through an oath knowingly, that's mazed, knowingly denying that he has an item, and in fact he does have the item. For Hisru Bo Mishul Malkus, and he was warned beforehand that if you lie in your oath, you will be subject to lashes. Eich nidon. How is this person judged? What kind of punishment does he receive? Three possibilities. Korban bilvad. In violating this oath, in lying through the oath, he'll be obligated to bring just a sacrifice. Second possibility, o malchus bilvad, or maybe he's subject just to receiving lashes. O korban umalchus, or possibly both. So now the Gemara, notice that we have a long question marking. Hazed b'shvuos apikadon, the hisru bo. He was mazed, he knowingly lied under oath concerning an entrusted item, and he was warned beforehand. Mahu, what is the din? Kevon d'chidushu, since we're dealing with an area that is a novelty, it's an unprecedented type issue. The Bechol HaTorah lo ashkichon meizid the maisi korban v'hocha maisi korban. In general, when someone willfully violates a Torah precept, he is not given the right to bring a sacrifice of penitence. In the case of Shavuos HaPikadon, where someone knowingly lied, he would bring a sacrifice. So, since we're dealing with a novel item, lo shna osru bay, velo shna os lo osru bay, it would make no difference whether he was warned or not warned. So, according to this possibility, he would bring a korban whether he received a warning or didn't receive a warning, that would be his punishment. Oy Dilma, Hani Mili Hecha Dilo Asube. Or it could be the idea of bringing a korban, or the ruling of his bringing a korban, that's only when there was no warning. Aval Hecha Da Asube, but where there was a warning, the offender informed beforehand that if he lies, he'll be subject to lashes, Milkalaki Korban Lomaisi. Then he will get lashes and not bring the sacrifice. Oy Dilma ha v'ha abdina, Or maybe where there was a warning, not only will he bring a sacrifice, but he will also receive Malchus. At this point, you can see we've raised the question with three different possibilities. The discussion continues. We didn't point out earlier, but we have a marking on the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a long marking we entitled Diyun. And you can see this discussion takes us down to halfway down the Omid. So after the question is raised, we now try to resolve it. The triangles that appear, you will notice, are Nisyonos Lifshot HaShela. We've written on the side of the Gemara under the Mivne heading. These are attempts to answer the question. If you see the point facing upwards, that's an attempt Lifshot Dechayev Rak B'Malkis. The inverted triangle is an attempt to show that Lifshot Dechayev Rak B'Korban. The double underline that you see that appears throughout this discussion highlights the expression Da'asru. He was warned. And only if there's warning can you even begin to talk about a possibility of Malchus. Whether in reality he'll receive Malchus is another question, and that is what preoccupies us. But in order for this discussion to have any value, you have to introduce the possibility of receiving Malchus. And that exists only if the offender was warned beforehand. So now we continue. Omru Lei, the group of rabbis that Rav Kahana had met, now answer him. He had raised the question, so they say to him, Tanina, we have a Tanaic source to resolve your question. It says, Chamura Heimena Shvuas Apikodon. Shvuas Apikodon, the oath imposed on a Bailey who's watching an entrusted item, is more stringent than Shvuas Ha'edus, the subject of our previous perek, Shechayovin al Zdoina Makis, Vashigigosa Osham Bekesef Shkolim. That if one violates Shvuas Apikodon B'mezid, he gets Malchus. If he violates it B'shogeg, Mezid is knowingly, Shogeg unwittingly, he then brings an osham, a guilt offering, that costs 2 pieces of silver, 2 shkolim, 2 shekel of the Torah. Shekel coins also is known as 2 sloyim. Midekomar lei al zdona makis, from the fact that this source makes reference to a willful violation resulting in malchus, resulting in lashing, mechlal de asru bei. It must be a situation where this shomer was warned. The Ka'omar, and it says, Makis in Korban lo. When there is a warning, and he willfully violates this Shvua, we're Medayik, we infer from here that there is Malchus, but there is no Korban. We have a bracketed line. Right after the brackets, you see the Gemara rejects this, and Omar Lahu Rava Bar Isi, he comes and offers his rejection. Before we do that, the Gemara asks, regarding the source we just read, it said that Shvuas HaPikaron is more chomor than Shvuas HaEdus. Umay chumra, what is the greater stringency that you find by Shvuas HaPikaron? The nicha lei leinish de maisi korban velo lilki. People would prefer bringing a sacrifice and not receiving Malchus. And Rashi points out that in the case of Shvuas HaEdus, you cannot create a situation of the witnesses who deny knowing testimony as receiving Malchus for their offense. The reason for that is that in the case of testimony, you have a problem with the Hasra'ah, the warning that you would give the witnesses. Rashi, that you'll find on the third line from the top, he says that regarding Shvuas HaEdus, there is no Malchus De'ein hasruas vaday b'shvos edus. The mi yodea shehem yoidim lo edus. The yochol lahasros bo. Does the person who is going to warn the witnesses who swear they don't know testimony, that when you're issuing the warning, do you know for sure that they do know testimony for him? Basically, we're saying if you know testimony and do not testify, claiming that you don't know it, then you'll be subject to a punishment. But there's this element of doubt that is built into the warning in that case. And a warning that has doubt, that's not stated in definitive terms, does not constitute a warning. And without a warning, you can't give malchus. So that when looking at Shvuas HaPikadon, we say that it is more chomor than Shvuas HaEdus, because in the case of Shvuas HaPikadon, you know definitively that that you had given an entrusted item to so-and-so. So the witnesses there who saw, let us say, the item given to the shomer, they know that he received it, so they can warn in definitive terms before the shomer swears that he doesn't have it. So the chumrah is that by Shvuas HaPikadon he's subject to lashing, and by Shvuas HaEdus he is not. And that's what we say in the brackets, the nicholei linish, a person would prefer the maisi korban, to bring a sacrifice below lilki and not receive lashes. So hence Shvuas HaPikadon, which does have lashes, is more stringent, or is more chomor, it's more serious than Shvuas HaEdus, which doesn't have lashes, only has a korban that is brought. So now, after we get at this point then in the Gemara, we see that when, in the case of Shvuas HaPikadon, there is warning, the penalty is makis and not a korban. And that would be, by the way, like the second possibility that was suggested in the three possibilities raised in the question. At this point, though, the Gemara rejects what we said. And we have a marking, we feature a crown shape. This crown shape highlights the names Rava Bar Isi and Rav Kahana. And on the side of the Gemara, we indicate these are shtei deos cholkos, opinions that disagree with one another. Lefimi lahamid hamokar, to mimenu diaknu makisin korbano. According to whom are we to set up the source that we just learned and from which we inferred that makis is the penalty and no korban? According to Rava Bar Isi, he will tell you that that source is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. And we're asking in accordance with the Rabbonon. Rav Kahana, on the other hand, says that the source is not according to Rabbi Shimon. But nevertheless, you cannot draw information or conclusions from the source regarding our question. And we'll see how and why. So now the Gemara. Omar Lahu Rava Bar Isi. Rava Bar Isi says to them, Mantano Zodon Shvuas HaPikadon Lo Nitan LeKapara. Who is the Tana that says that when you're mazed in the case of Shvuas HaPikadon, so there is no korban that is brought? Rabbi Shimon. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Aval LeRabbonon Korban Nami Maisi. According to the Rabbonon, you would bring a korban as well in the case of Zodon Shvuas HaPikadon. So that as far as Rava Bar Isi is concerned, the question that was asked would be resolved. Namely, according to the Rabbanon, if there is a hasra before the Shavuos HaPikadon is made, the Shomer, when it turns out that he's lying, will have to bring a korban, as well as receiving lashes. And that, by the way, would be like the third possibility that we presented above. Omar Luhu Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana is Doche, that which Rava Bar Isi said. And Rav Kahana is maintaining that you shouldn't try to set that source up like Rabbi Shimon, but rather it is a source that could be taught by the Rabbanon, and still we cannot conclude our question. So the Gemara. Bar mino dehahi. De ano tanino lo vehochi tanino lo. I learned that Mishnah, and thusly it appears in my opinion. Echod zdoino, the echod shigigoso, osham bekesef shkolim. That if a person is mazed be shvuas hapikadon, whether he's mazed or shogeg, he brings a korban osham. And we're saying that represents a chumrah over shvuas ha'edus. Umay chumrah, what is the chumrah of shvuas hapikadon that you say brings a korban osham kesef shkolim that costs 2 shekel, 2 sloim of silver? What's the chumrah of that over the shvuas hapikadon? The ilu hasam, I should say the chumrah of this shvuas hapikadon over shvuas ha'edus. The ilu hasam, when you're dealing with shvuas ha'edus, what kind of sacrifice does the offender bring? Chatos bas danko, he brings a sin offering whose value is even a danko. Danko means a sixth. It's a small amount of money. It's a mo'o kesef, which is 1/6 of a dinar. And there are 4 dinar in a sela, in a shekel of the Torah. So we're dealing with something that's quite inexpensive, relatively speaking. So the chumrah of shvuas hapikadon is that in shvuas ha'edus you can get away with a chatas bas danka. V'hacha osham bekesef shkolim. Here, the korban osham, the guilt offering that he's going to bring, has to cost 2 pieces of silver that are called shkolim, 2 or sloim in other contexts. So this is it's much more expensive than the korban that a person who violates shvuas ha'edus would have to bring. The Gemara asks, well, v'ligmar mino? Why don't we conclude, based on what Rav Kahana says, why don't we conclude our question from here? And what would the conclusion be? That where there's mazid, which we're assuming that there was also hasra, he does not get malchus. He will bring only the korban. So why can't we still stick to this source, understand that it's authored by the Rabbanan, and the penalty for someone who was warned would bring a korban and not get malchus? The Gemara says, Dilma de lo asrube. The source which spoke about echod shogig echod zdoine echod shkosa brings a korban, the reason for that is that there was no hasra. And our original question was, what happens when someone is about to violate shvuas hapikadon after having received a hasra? Lishna achrina. And now, we have a different version. Up till now, when we introduced the Tanaic source, we were trying to show that there would be only Malchus. And then we rejected that in the last few lines. Another approach is to suggest that maybe there's only a korban. Toshma, ein chayovin al shigigosa. Ma hein chayovin al zdona. Osham bekesef shkolim. So the source says there's no sacrificial obligation in the case of shogeg. What do you chayev when there's mazid? When there's willful violation? Osham bekesef shkolim. My love, bida asrubay. Is it not so that he received warning, and what do we see? Even though he received a warning that he would be subject to Malchus, he doesn't get Malchus, he brings only the sacrifice. The Gemara rejects this. Hachinami delo asrube. The source is talking about a case where there was no asra. There's no asra, so you cannot administer lashing. Toshma. Again, an attempt to prove that there's only korban. So the source says, lo. Imam ris benozir tome shigain loike. Toimar vishwas habikodon she no loike. So as far as the context in which this source appears, that's something that we will leave aside. However, in looking just at the words, you see that nozir is contrasted with Shvuas HaPikodon. A Nozir, specifically a Nozir Tomei, a Nozir who became defiled. And it says regarding a Nozir who became defiled, he gets lashes. This is in contrast to the Shvuas HaPikodon, he would not get lashes. So, Midikomar Loike, from the fact that this source is talking about getting lashed, Michal de Asru Bey, it must be a case where Hasra took place. There was a warning, Vikomar, and it said in this very source, Tomar b'shuas ha'pikadon she'eno loke. Shuas ha'pikadon is less than nozir in the sense that it doesn't generate malchus. Avo korban maisi, but a sacrifice would be brought. So this would be an attempt to show that in the case of shuas ha'pikadon, where there was a hasra, there's only korban, and we saw that in our suggested possibilities above when the question was presented, that where there is a hasra, there would be only a korban. That was like the first of the series of possibilities that we presented. The Gemara rejects this. My eino loke. When you said that by Shvuas HaPikodon there will not be Malchus, it doesn't mean that at all. Quite the opposite. You know what Eino Loke means? Eino Niftar B'Malchus. He doesn't get his, let's see, atonement through Malchus. Which basically means Malchus won't be enough. He'll need to bring a sacrifice as well. The Gemara asks, are we then to infer that Michlal de Nozir, which was mentioned in the same source, the Nozir Tomei, the Nozir who became defiled, Niftar b'Malchus, that he does get his atonement through just Malchus? It's not true. The Torah says that a Nozir Tomei has to bring sacrifices. The Gemara responds, Hossam, in the case of a Nozir who became defiled, the korban that he brings is not for atonement purposes. The Maisi korban kihechi de techlo lei nazirus betara. He is bringing a korban in order to restart the counting of the days toward his renewed nazirus in a state of purity. In order for the Nozir to restart his counting, so he has to bring a sacrifice. But as far as, we'll say, punishment for, let's say, willful violators, it could very well be that the Nozir would get only Malkus, and the Shvus HaPikadon violator, in addition to the Malkus, he also would have to bring a Korban. And Eino Loke meant, as we saw, he Eino Niftar B'Malkus. Malkus is not enough to exempt him, to atone for him, but he needs a Korban as well. Amrula Rabbonon Kamei Derabo. The Rabbonon that we saw at the bottom of Lamed Vov Omid Beis, there were three Rabbonon, and they met up with Rabbah, and they told Rabbah about their question that they posed to Rav Kahana regarding the Shvus HaPikadon case where there was Hasra. Omar Lehu, Rabbah, upon hearing the discussion, says in response, Michlal, should we infer Dechilo Asrube Ve'ika Eidim Mechayev? Had there been no Hasra, so if there's no Hasra, that means that there would be no Malkus. But if you have a case where there was no Hasra, but there are witnesses that could testify that the Shomer was lying, in other words, he swore that he didn't have the Pikadon, the witnesses will testify that he does have the Pikadon, he does have the entrusted article. Are you going to tell me that under those circumstances that he will have to bring a korban because he swore falsely? Kfiras dvorim bi'almuhu. His denial is not a denial that's going to be of any effectiveness for him. He's denying something in the face, or he's running up against witnesses. And the whole concept of a shomer that's kofer in his nishba is guilty, or is chayev then to bring a sacrifice, that's only where his kfira could have helped him. That's only where he could have, with that through his lie, he then wouldn't have to pay. But if you're going to swear falsely that you don't have it, and witnesses say you do have the item, you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay regardless of the fact that you swore you didn't have it. And therefore, Rabbah is raising the question, how can you suggest that if there was no warning, but there are witnesses, that the offender, or that the shomer, will have to bring a korban? In very simple terms, a useless denial does not result in the bringing of a sacrifice. Before we go further, we have a topic heading, and we also have a structural note. As you can see in the Gemara, we already noted Rabbah, you can see, has a firebox. The Rabbah coming up has a firebox, indicating that this is an opinion or a point that's made that is going to last a long time in our Gemara discussion. And on the side, under the Nosei heading, HaKoifer B'Momon Shiesh Alav Edim, person denies in a monetary claim value or money concerning which there are witnesses that can testify. And when you're denying something that witnesses will testify to the contrary, his denial will not have saved him or spared him from paying. When witnesses will end up obligating him to pay. Lefi Rabbah, kfiraso havirat kfiras dvorim ba'almo. So, as far as Rabbah is concerned, such a denial is like It's like empty air. It's worthless. The Al-Kfira Kazeh Eino Chayev Korban Oshem. And on a denial like that, one would not bring a guilt offering. You notice that we have a bow tie shape. This highlights the word HaKofer. Simon Shemuad Lekasher Bein Rabov Rabbi Yochanan. Shnei Medabrim Al Kfiras Mamon. We're attempting to connect Rabba that you see here with Rabbi Yochanan that you see on Omid Beis about a little less than halfway down the page. You'll see another bow tie shape and a Roman numeral number 2. And our purpose is to, we'll say, compare and contrast these two opinions regarding this matter of Kofer B'Momon Sheyeshol Avedim. That's the topic that you see in Roman numeral number 2 as well when we get there on Amid Beis. The Gemara. Alma Kosova Rabba HaKofer B'Momon Sheyeshol Avedim. One who denies owing money in the when there are witnesses that could testify to the contrary, Potter. Then there is Korban exemption. Even though the Torah mandates that one who swears falsely in the case of having received an entrusted article to watch, he is obligated to bring a sacrifice. That's true only if his denial will help him in his attempt to get away with it. But if there are witnesses, he won't be able to get away with it. Omar le Rav Chanina le Rabba Tanya de Mesayeloch. Rav Chanina wants to do Rabba a favor. He says, you know, we have a brisa that supports you. After we read this Tanaic source that you see in a frame, Rabba will respond, and you'll notice there's a long response. You can see that through our markings, where Rabba, and this is classic Shas honesty, where even though someone is saying something to help you out, but if you feel it's not an authentic or it's not really going to help you out, then spare me the favor. And that we'll see is Rabba's response. But in the meantime, Rav Chanina says to Rabba, Tanya de Maseuch, I have a Tanaic source that can support you. The Pasuk in this context of Shvuas HaPikadon says, V'chichesh ba, and another two lines you see, it says, V'nishbal HaSheker, we're breaking this Pasuk down into its component parts, V'chichesh ba, and he denies, Prat le'moide le'echod min ha'achim, oy le'echod min ha'shutfin. There, in the case of denial, so then we have the classic Shvuas HaPikadon. To the exclusion of a shomer, or someone who owes money, and he admits to one of the brothers, or to one of the partners, we'll have to see more about that later, when the Gemara explains it. V'nishba al sheker, prat, Leloive Bishtar Uleloive Beedim. That one who swears al sheker and a false oath will, as the Torah says over there, result in his bringing of a sacrifice. This is to the exclusion of a case where the loan, if it's a matter of someone denying owing a loan to pay back, someone who had borrowed money, but there is a shtar, a document documenting the loan with witnesses that signed it, or a loan that was taken out, that was made in the presence of witnesses, where the denial is not going to help him. The malva, the lender has a shtar, or the lender has witnesses that saw the loan had taken place. So in a case like that, where the borrower tries to deny owing the money, he will be exempt. He's not included, as the Bryce says, prat, to the exclusion of those cases. Those are not included in the case of Shvuas HaPikadon that would bring a sacrifice. And why? Because in those cases, the denial isn't going to help them. Omar Lay, Rabba says back, E Mishum Ha, Lo Tesayon. If It's this source that you think is a support to me. It doesn't support me. It doesn't help me. Be Omer, what the case involves is a person is denying, but he's not denying the loan. He's not denying that he received money. He says, Lovisi, I borrowed money, I received money, Velo Lovisi, Be'edim. But I did not borrow in the presence of witnesses. In other words, you have a claimer, someone laying claim, who's saying, you know, I loaned you money in front of witnesses. And the fellow responds and says, no, you loaned me money, but it wasn't in front of witnesses. So he's kofer, he's denying, but what we would call dvorim ba'alma. He's simply denying general, let's say, facts or claims, but not the essential money element. So someone who denies those kind of points of information when lying does not end up bringing a sacrifice. The other example, lovisi v'lo lovisi b'shtar. Yes, I borrowed money. I acknowledge that, but not like you say that a shtar was prepared, but it was a loan without a shtar. Mimai, how does Rabba know that that's what the source is talking about? That the denial is not a denial of the actual debt. Well, midekotoni, because it said in that source, and now we go back to the ratio, we did not explain it before. It says there, v'chichesh bo. The Torah, that's from the Pasuk, and he denies, prat, and in that case, in the case of denial in the Torah, he has to bring a korban, prat lemoide le'echod min ha'achim o le'echod min ha'shutfim, to the exclusion of these cases where he does not bring a korban. What is the case where he admits to one of the brothers? If it's a case involving two brothers that came with a claim against this individual, and he admitted owing to one of the brothers, but to the other brother he says, I don't owe you. So that if you have a case, imagine two brothers claimed that we loaned you $100, each brother representing 50%, and the one claimed from says, I owe 50, but the other, you, I don't owe anything. Well, ha'ikah kfira di'idach, in that case there is denial, there's kfiras momon to the other brother, why then is there exemption? And because we said we're prat meant excluding the case of moide lecha menachim, elolav, di'amri lei, rather the case is as follows. Two brothers said to this individual, mitravinon yasvis, you borrowed $100 from both of us. V'yomalu lo, and he says no. Mechad minaychu yasvi. I borrowed $100, the entire sum, but not from both, but only from one of you. Dehav yaleik firus form b'almo. That type of denial is not a monetary denial. It's called a non-monetary denial. It's just a general a factual denial, but not monetary. And that's referred to in Hebrew as kfiras dvorim ve'alma, mere contradiction of mere words. So the resha is explained as kfiras dvorim ve'alma, umi deresha kfiras dvorim, seifa nami kfiras dvorim. So the seifa also is a case of a denial, but of general facts, not of actual monetary concern. And in the sefer we explained that the borrower was charged with owing money because of a loan that had taken place with a document, and he says, yes, I borrowed money, but there was no document, or I borrowed money and contrary to what you're saying, there were no witnesses. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking. And on the side, under the Mivne heading, these triangles represent Kushyos al Rabba. These are questions asked against Rabba. Mimakura is from sources deroyim de kfiro bemokim edim eino rak kfiros dvorim ba'almo elo yesh oleo chiyuv osham. Whereas Rabba said, if you deny owing money or owing the article, the entrusted article, and their witnesses that could testify against you, you will be exempt from bringing an osham. In these questions, we're going to see, no, you will nevertheless be obligated to bring an osham. That's what we're attempting to raise as questions against Rabba. The Gemara. Toshma, eino chayov al shigigasa. Umahu chayov al zdona. Osham bekesef shkolim. The source tells us that you're not chayev if you are shogeg, if you're unwitting. However, if you swore falsely, knowingly, you're chayev to bring this kind of korban. And we highlight the word osham because the osham, the guilt offering, is essentially the center of our discussion right now. Rabba spoke about a kfir b'mokam edim exempt from osham, and here we're going to suggest that there is an osham. My lav zodon edim. Is it not so that this guy is mazed about owing something when there are witnesses that could testify against him? So this is a case of kfiras momon, where there are edim, and it says in the source that he brings a korban osham. Lo, that's not the case. Zadon atzmo. There are no witnesses. He on his own, he is lying. Namely, he knowingly swore falsely. Toshma. Before we go on, just to review the main point, he knowingly swore falsely, and since there were no edim, with that type of denial, he would have gotten away with it. And that's why, when it turns out that he's lying, he has to bring a korban osham. Toshma, hoyu shtei kitei edim, if there were two sets of witnesses. Kofra, and here the issue is the witnesses and their knowledge of testimony. Testimony that would enable someone to collect money. And when witnesses deny under oath their knowledge of the testimony, they're causing a hefsid momon. And this brings us into the realm of Shvuas HaEdus. And Shvuas HaEdus, as we learned in the previous perek, is is binding and is culpable when lying only if it's in the realm of Tvias Momon, a money-related testimony. So here we read the Gemara. The source says there were two sets of witnesses, Kofra Rishona, V'achak Kofra Shnia. The first set of witnesses denied knowledge of testimony, and then a second set denied knowledge. Shtehen Chayovos. Both sets, when it turns out that they're lying, both sets are guilty and will have to bring sacrifices, including the first set. The Gemara now analyzes. Bishlamo Shnia Tischayev. We understand that the second set of witnesses, when they deny after the first set had already removed themselves from testimony through their denial, the second set represents the only hope for the Baldin, for the litigant, to recover his funds. So when they deny knowledge of testimony, they are really causing the litigant a loss. Ela Rishona Mai Mechaiva when the first set of witnesses denied, their denial doesn't cause a loss to the claimer. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Ha Kaima Shnia. There is the second set of witnesses yet. And nevertheless, the first set are guilty when they swear falsely, not knowing testimony. They're guilty of Shvuas Eidus. That's a Kfiras Mamon. And what do we have then? We have an example of their denial. That's Kfiras Mamon, because it's testimony concerning money. Sheyesh Olav Eidim. That there are a second set of witnesses. And we see that the denial is a real denial. So that you have a Kfiras Mamon when there is present a second set of witnesses that could have testified. And it results in a korban obligation that is not in accordance with Rabbah. Omar Ravina, Hocho b'mayaskinon, the case we read with the two sets of witnesses, Kegon Shoisa Shnia b'shas Kfiras Rishonah Kruvim b'nishoisehem, the second set of witnesses at the time that the first set testified, the second set could not have testified. They were two people that had married sisters, and as a result, they're considered relatives. And relatives cannot serve as a set or unit of testimony. So when the first set of witnesses testified, it wasn't a case of testimony where there were other witnesses that could have testified about the money. So therefore, their kfira was a full-blown kfira, not just a kfiras dvarim ba'alma, but with their denial, so the litigant is going to end up losing his ability to claim whatever he wanted to claim. The Gemara continues. The second set of witnesses, as we said, were ineligible to testify when the first set of witnesses stated their testimony. And why? Because they were related by virtue of the fact they had married two sisters. However, there's more information. Unishoisem goisisos. Those wives, i.e. sisters, they were deathly, were in the throes of death at that time, at the time that the first set of witnesses stated their testimony. Maudetema, without the Tanaic source that we read, I would have thought, well, Roiv Geisesin Lemisa, people who are in the throes of death, the majority of those people die. And as a result, maybe I should view the second set of witnesses really being a kosher set of witnesses. And if they are a kosher set of witnesses, then the denial on the part of the first set of witnesses is not really a denial. Because, as we said, they're irrelevant. They're not absolutely necessary. You have the second set. Chomash Malon, the chiddush here is Hashto Mihas Chaye Ninu Velo Shchivi. At this time, their hearts are still beating. They're still alive. And therefore, the second set could not testify at that time. And when the first set was testifying, their kfira was a real kfira. And the litigant, as a result of their denial of testimony, would lose his claim on the money. Toshma. Bal habayis shetoan tainas ganav v'pikodon v'nishba v'hoide. A man had been given something to watch, and he swore that the item was stolen from him. And if you're dealing with a shomer chinom, an unpaid baili, so he is exempt in a case of something being stolen from his domain, an entrusted article stolen from his domain, he's not considered of having behaved recklessly. And he swore that it was stolen. And then he confessed, no, it wasn't. He was Moide. Ubo Edim. And then witnesses came. Now here we have to analyze, let's see, order of events. Im ad shelo bo edim hoide, if this shomer confessed prior to the appearance of the witnesses that well, that are going to testify that he has the item in his possession and it wasn't stolen. So if he confessed before the witnesses showed up, mishalem keren v'chomesh v'osham, he will have to pay the principal. In other words, he gives back the item to the owner, and he adds a fifth, and he has to bring a sacrifice, a guilt offering, for having sworn falsely. If witnesses came first and then he confessed, well, mishalem tashlume kefel v'osham, he has to pay kefel. Kefel is characteristic of a surreptitious thief. And since the Bailey made a claim that it was stolen surreptitiously from me, he made a claim it was gonav. So he, and this is of course all learned from Psukim in the Torah, he, the Bailey, is treated as if he were a thief. So a thief pays twice the value, kefel. And he also brings a sacrifice. Now what do we see over here? We see a shvuas hapikadon, a Bailey swearing concerning the article that he was entrusted with, claiming he doesn't have it, and there are witnesses, and yet he does bring a sacrifice. So that represents a problem for Rabbah. The Gemara says it's not a problem for Rabbah, because at the time this guy swore, the witnesses that eventually show up could not have testified. They were relatives having married two sisters. And therefore, at the time of his denial, it was a denial when no one could have testified. His denial would have enabled him to get away with it. It's a real kfiras mamon. And it's not a case of kfira b'mokom edim. And the Gemara says this in very few words, hachanami kederavina. Here too, the reason that there is a korban is because the witnesses featured in this source were witnesses that at the time of the vow, at the time of his oath, that he didn't have it, that he doesn't have the item, they could not have testified. Omer le ravino le ravashi. Toshma. Again, another question on Rabbah. The source says, chamuro mimeno shvuas hapikodon, shechayovim alzdoine makis val shigigosa osham. Shvuas hapikodon is more stringent, more serious than shvuas ha'edus, in that it's chayav when mazed lashes, and in a case of shogeg, unwitting, osham, the kesef shkolim, a guilt offering costing two sloim, must be brought. Now, we have a source, and it mentioned the possibility of lashing. Midekomar loike, from the fact that it says here he will get malchus, michlal de'iko edim, and part and parcel of that, of getting lashes, is that there were witnesses, and witnesses stand there, and they warn him that, you know, you should be aware that if you're going to swear falsely, you will get lashed. So we're dealing with a case of mamon sheyeshal of edim, the kolmar, and it says al shigigosa osham bekesef shkolim. So that you have a case here of witnesses that know he has the item, and they warn them, you know, if you're going to swear that you don't have it, you should know you're going to be subject to lashes. Now, if he's shogeg means that he didn't receive a warning, and he swore unwittingly, but the denial wasn't going to help him because there are witnesses. We continue. With that in mind, you see then we have a question Let's just read that again in the Gemara. We said Michal Dika Eden Vikomar, and it said in the source Al Shigigasa Osham Bekesef Shkolim. Omar Lahu Rav Mordechai. Rav Mordechai responds, Bar Mino Dahi. Leave that source aside. Omar Lahu Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana already addressed this question. We saw this on Omar Aleph. And he says, Ano Tanino Lo Vahochi Tanino Lo. I have learned that source, and I have it taught thusly. Echod Zdoino. So that the source is not talking about Malkus at all. And as you can see, the source equates Shogeg with Mazid. And Shogeg, of course, does not, there's no Malkus. So the Mazid, there's no Malkus. And it could very well then be what we called before, earlier today, we said Zodon Atzmo. It's not a Mazid in the face of witnesses. So once again, the source does not represent a problem for Rabbah. Toshma, lo, imamris benozir tomei shikain loike, toimar b'shvuas hapikadon she'eno loike. Of course, the source we also saw on Omer Aleph, nozir tomei is being contrasted here with the case of shvuas hapikadon. Hey Chidomi, what are the circumstances behind this source? Idaleko Edim, if there are no witnesses, Amai Loke, why would there be any Malkus? Elapshita Deika Edim, it must be that there are witnesses. You have a Nozir who knowingly defiled himself, and witnesses had warned him beforehand not to, so he gets Malkus. Vikotoni, and in the source it said, should you say whatever the argument was? We're not even giving you the background to what the discussion was, but it said there that whatever we say by Nozir Tomei, that may be the case because he is subject to Malkus. Should you be able to say the same thing by a false Shvua in the case of Shvuas HaPikadon where there are no Malkus? No. Once again, there's a case. The case is there are witnesses. Milkahu de lo loki. He's not going to get Malkus avo korban maisi, but he will. In the case of the Shuas HaPikadon, he will have to bring a sacrifice. So we've just described the case where you have a Bailey who was entrusted with an item, and there are witnesses that know he has the item, and he swears that he doesn't have it. His denial isn't going to help him one iota. And yet, we inferred from the source that he will have to bring a korban. Rabbah had said otherwise. Well, tiufta, to Rabbah tiufta. This source, therefore, represents a refutation of Rabbah's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, and as we indicated earlier in our introductory remarks, Rabbi Yochanan also deals with the case of Kofer B'Mamon Sheishal of Edim, and on the side we have a nosei, a topic heading. Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, Yesh Lechalek B'Kfiras Mamon, within the realm of someone denying owing money, there is room to make a distinction between a case of money Sheishal of Edim, L'Sheishal of Shtar. And in this discussion, of course, we go back to the issue of someone who swears falsely. Will he have to bring a sacrifice or not? And we have seen the approach taken by Rabbah, which it's true the Gemara rejected it, but the approach that Rabbah had taken was that if the kfira isn't going to help you, so then when you swear and in denial, you won't have to bring a sacrifice. Because a denial that wouldn't have helped you isn't considered the kind of denial that the Torah is mechayev you, obligates you to bring a sacrifice. So now let's see how Rabbi Yochanan addresses this. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kofer B'Mamon Shiyesh Olav Eidim Chayav. That means that even though there are witnesses that will mechayev you to pay, your denial nevertheless has significance, and you have to bring a sacrifice for the lie. B'shtar Potter. However, if the money that you are denying happens to be, let's say, accounted for by a document that you owe the money, and you deny owing the money, you will be exempt, because the thinking right now is that that type of denial wouldn't have helped you. We need to explain this. I mean, there seems to be some kind of distinction made between where your denial is going up against witnesses versus a denial going up against a shtar. Omar Rav Papa, my time under Rabbi Yochanan. You can see with the markings we have, we've highlighted with a house shape, and we've explained on the side, these are Deos B'mai Taimei de Rabbi Yochanan. Two approaches to explaining what's behind Rabbi Yochanan's logic. So Omar Rav Papa, my Taimei de Rabbi Yochanan. Answer. Eidim Avidi de Maisi. Witnesses, they're human beings, they can die. And if they die, so then you've got no testimony against me, and then when I deny owing the money, and I swear to that effect, that will be the means of my getting away with it. Shtar ha-monach, but a shtar, it's always there. And therefore, your denial isn't going to be effective. And therefore, you'll be exempt. Omar lei Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua Rav Papa. Rav Huna takes issue with Rav Papa. He says, shtar nami ovid demirkas. Documents also can get lost. And in the event that the shtar gets lost, the denial will help this guy in his attempt to get away with paying the money. Hello, Omar Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua. Hainu taimid Rav Yochanan. The reason for Rabbi Yochanan making this distinction is Mishum Davi Shtar Shibud Karkois. Money that's accounted for by a document enables the owner of that document to collect, if not the cash, can collect land. So a shtar is backed up by land. And we find interesting, we'll say, exceptions, unique ways of dealing with land as opposed to other types of property, portables. When dealing with land, first of all, there's a rule that says, Ein nishboin ala karkos. Oaths are not taken when it's a matter of a land claim or a land-based claim. And by the same token, Ve'ein mevi'in korban al kfiras shibud karkos. The korban that we've been discussing is a korban because of an oath that was taken falsely. But when you're dealing with land, you don't take oaths to begin with. So therefore, a denial of money that's land-based doesn't constitute a denial, or namely an oath of denial, to mechayev him in bringing a korban, to bringing a sacrifice in the first place. In very simple terms, it's a situation where there really is no room for vows, and therefore, if you swore falsely, there is no korban. Now, as we go on, we have a new train of thought. That's why you notice a slash mark on the side of the Gemara. We have a topic heading. Hamashbia Aide Karka Shikofru. Imagine you have witnesses that know testimony concerning land ownership. Hagemora Mavia Machloikis Amoroyim. The Gemara will present an Amoraic controversy. Yemesh Lechaivom Al Kfirosam. Witnesses who know information regarding land and then deny falsely their knowledge of such testimony. Does that constitute a kfiras shvua se'edus? By Hemshich, in the continuation of the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Yishal Rabbi Yirmiyah will present the question to Rabbi Avo. Haim machloikis hamoroim he plukted the tanoi. Rabbi Lozer v'chachomim. Does the Amoraic controversy that we will see in the Gemara parallel a Tanaic, an earlier Tanaic controversy, Binyan Hagoizel Soda Mechavero, concerning someone who takes over a piece of land? He steals a piece of land from his friend, the Shotfanar, and then the land was deluged, and the quality of the land significantly depreciated. The Rebbe Lozer Sover Karkin Exeles. Rebbe Lozer is of the opinion that the concept of theft applies to land. V'chachom Sovrim Karka Einan Exeles. V'chachom hold the concept of theft doesn't apply to land. And in such a case, if someone took over your land and while he was there, it became useless or worthless because of some type of inundation of water, you as the thief, so to speak, can simply say, "Harei shel chalafanecha." Hey, here's your land. I don't owe you anything. That would be a function of saying "Karka eino nigzelis." So far, we've presented a number of ideas, and it might sound a bit abstract, but as far as the general framework is concerned, we're going to shortly see a machlokas amoroyim concerning mashpia de karka, and the Gemara wants to know, will we be able to parallel this Amoraic controversy to a Tanaic controversy? The Gemara. Itmar mashbia edei karka. A person imposes an oath on witnesses concerning their knowledge of a land matter, land claim matter. Pligei ba Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lozer. These are two Amoroyim. Chadomar chayev. The Chadomar poter. Are these witnesses, when they falsely deny knowledge of such testimony, are they guilty and will they have to bring sacrifices? So one opinion says yes, and one opinion says no. Who says what? We have Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozer. The Gemara suggests, Tistayim to Rabbi Yochanan, di Omar Potter. Let's conclude that Rabbi Yochanan is the one that would say they're exempt. Mido Omar Rabbi Yochanan ha-kefer b'mamon, shi'eshalav edim chayov. Star Potter, from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan had made this distinction earlier, and as he explained, why when you're koifer momon shiyeshal of star are you exempt? Because a star is based on karka, is based on land, so that the ptur of the patur of Rabbi Yochanan we saw before concerning a shtar was because of it being shibud karkos. One has a land claim, and therefore the denial through a vow or through an oath concerning that which is land oriented does not result in the bringing of a sacrifice. So, with our having seen Rabbi Yochanan on this matter of Koifer B'Momon Sheishal of Shtar, I can then understand that that's not a kfira, it doesn't constitute a shvua, and therefore, by the same token, witnesses that deny knowing testimony of something that's of a land matter, that too is exempt from the realm of having sworn falsely. Tistayim means, so then, let us in fact conclude thusly, that regarding the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lozer on Mashvi Eidei Karka, the Chad Omar that we saw three lines above that said Potur, that is Rabbi Yochanan. As we continue in the Gemara, take note of the fact we have a long question ahead of us. Omar le Rabbi Yirmiyah le Rabbi Avo, le ma Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Lozer, Beplugta de Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbanon Kamifligi. Can we say that the Amoraic machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar that we just saw regarding Mashbi'ei Karka parallels a Tanaic controversy between Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanon? Disnan. The source says, Hagezel Sodom Echavero v'shot fanor. Person stole a field from someone else. Now, obviously, you don't pick up a field from the ground and walk with it to some other location. So it means you took over possession of the field, throwing the owner off the field, claiming it's your own, and it was inundated by the river. A river overflowed the banks and ruined the field while the thief was upon it. Chayav lamid lo yisada divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that this thief has to restore the victim with a new field. He has to pay him back with a new field. V'chachomim omrim omer lo harei shel cholofanecha. V'chachomim say the thief, as far as he is concerned, can say to the owner, here is your field, take it as it is. The Rebbe Elazar holding that karka nigzelis, karka is subject to the phenomenon of being stolen, and the Chachamim say no, the concept of gezel with all of its halachic ramifications does not apply to land. Now, of course, you can, you know, if someone takes over land, you might say in English he stole his land, but here we're dealing with halachic concepts and the halachic ramifications involved in someone taking over someone's land. So that in a case of, let's say, common theft, where you steal someone's item, we say either you give back the item or give him back the cash equivalent. That is something, that is the way we describe the act and expected return in a case of theft. Imagine, for example, someone stealing someone's item and ruining it in the course of time. He can't just give back the ruined item that he had, the item that he had stolen and subsequently ruined. What about with regard to land? So here you see a machlekes. And the Gemara continues, Ramrina b'may komiflegi. We ask, what is the basis of this machlokas? Rabbi Elazar, Dorish, Ribui, Umiyuti. There is an approach. There are two approaches that we'll see right now in how to expound upon psukim in the Torah. Rabbi Elazar takes the approach known as Ribui, Umiyuti. Ribui means something that includes, is inclusive of other things. We have a verse, and if the verse is stated in, let's say, broad terms, it comes to include other things. Miuti means limitation. So that I might, on the one end, let's say, we call it push and pull. I might, on the one hand, include, and I might, in the same verse, because there are, say, non-inclusive phrases, they serve to reduce, mute. V'rabbonon darshi kloli uproti. The Rabbanon, in approaching psukim that have general and specific phrases in them, they have a different approach called klal uprat. Klal meaning a general statement, prat meaning a specific statement. What we have just done is simply translated two concepts, ribu yamuti versus concepts, or maybe more accurately, two approaches to verses, ribu yamuti versus kol yuproti. Before we go further, let us just tell you ahead of time that the approach known as Ribui Miuti, in this context, it's actually, technically speaking, it's Ribui Miut V'Riba. You have an inclusive part of a verse, then you have an exclusive part of the verse, or a limitation section, and the verse continues with, again, an inclusive expression. You will find that approach leads us to excluding very little. The other approach, called Kloli Uproti, Darshin Klal Pratu Klal, you'll find that more is excluded in whatever context. So now, let's bring it down to some more practical terms. Rebbe Elazar, and you'll notice with our markings, we squiggle underline where each one appears. You have Rebbe Elazar Darsh Rebbe Muti, and a few lines later, Rabbona Darshi Kloli Uproti. So we continue. Rebbe Elazar Darshins Rebbe Muti, V'chichesh Bamiso. This is a pasuk that we cited earlier. This is the pasuk dealing with Shvuas HaPikadon, where someone is essentially denying, owing, or say falsely denying, money that he owes. What is involved in the denial? Well, it could be any number of kinds of money payments. So the pasuk says, V'chichesh Bamiso. He denies owing to his friend, Reba. That's an inclusive statement. It says denial. Well, denial can include many different kinds of payment. He denies. But he cut in a b'tzimis yad. Well, in the pasuk it says he denies having an entrusted item or having received a b'tzimis yad, a loan. Miyeh. Well, that limits you to denying pikadon or b'tzimis yad. But the pasuk goes on to say, oh, mikol asher yishava. Or he denies anything that he might swear over. Chazav riba. Again, an inclusive, because mikol means anything, not limited. So that's again a ribui. What we have now is called riba umiye v'riba. The verse included, excluded, and then included again. What happens as a result? Riba hakol. Everything's included. My riba? Riba kol mili. Everything's included. All kinds of property claims or money claims are included, even land. And we emphasize that right now. This is Rebbe Elazar's approach. So when it comes to items that are subject to theft, Rebbe Elazar will tell you that will include land. It's true, here we're talking about theft through swearing, denying having something, but it all falls under the general rubric of theft. So we're including even land. Umay mitz, what's excluded? Miyeh shtoros. If a person denies having a shtar, someone's shtar, a shtar is a document, a bill of collection. If you deny having such a document and you swear falsely to that effect, you will not be guilty. That's excluded from this parsha of Shvuas HaPikadon. For Rabbanan Darshi, Kloli Uproti. The Chichesh Bamiso, Klal. The Pikadon Sumasyan, O Begezel, Prat. O Mikol Asher Yishava Olov, Chozer V'Kolal. Same style, general part, specific, and then general again. Klal Uprat Uklal, Yatodon Elokeina Prat. When you want to decide what's included in this particular section of the Torah, so you judge according to, if you want to include things, but they have to be similar to the specific examples in the pasuk. So we saw in the pasuk, we saw pikadon, we saw tzumas yad, and we saw gezel. Ma haprat mefurish davar metalta v'gufo mamon. Just like the details, the specific examples in the pasuk are things that are portable, and they're things that have intrinsic value. So to anything else that happens to have those characteristics, if you deny owing them, you'll be guilty and you'll have to bring a guilt offering. What's excluded? Yotsu karkos. And here we dashed underlines to draw your attention. This opinion, this is the Rabbonin, karkos are excluded. She'ain metaltu, they're not portable. Yotsu avodim. Shehukshulu karkos. Avodim are slaves. Slaves are a form of property, and if you deny having someone slave or owing someone their slave, you will be excluded from this parsha of Shvua. Why? Because slaves are compared in the Torah, shehukshu lekarkos. Hukshu means hekish, they're compared to karkos. The pasuk in referring to slaves, it says visnachaltim osom livnechem acharechem. It treats slaves as inheritance, as property that's inherited. And number three, yotsu shtoros, we exclude shtoros as well, bills of collection. If you swear falsely as to, let's say, not having someone's shtar, and you in fact do, shafalpisha metatlin, even though they're portables, ain gufon momon, they aren't intrinsically of value, their representative value. That means with the shtar, you can then collect something of value, but the shtar itself doesn't have value per se. So what have we done? We've gone through the basis of the machlokis, Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim. Rebbe Elazar basically telling us karka nigzeles, and the Rabbanon saying no. Man de mechayev. This is the tie-in to the Gemara before, the opinion that was mechayev eidei karka, if they deny knowing testimony over land, well, that would be kfiras mamon. That would seem to parallel to Rabbi Eliezer. That would seem to parallel the Tanaic opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that karka nigzeles, it's something that is subject to theft. Uman de potar kerabonon, and he who said in the case of mashbi'e de karka, and it turns out that they're false, that they swore falsely about their knowledge of karka, of land-based testimony, if you hold innocence, kerabonon, that would seem to parallel the opinion of the rabbonon that say land isn't subject to theft. Omar lay lo. Rabbi Avo responds to Rabbi Yirmiya and says that your attempt to parallel the Amoroyim with these Tanoim is not accurate. Man de Mechayev, the opinion in the case of Mashbia Ede Karka, which we actually said that was Rabbi Yochanan, that correction, that was Rebbe Elazar, the Amora Rebbe Elazar. So the one who says Chayev, that parallels the Tana Kerebi Eliezer. Rebbe Elazar having said Karka Nigzeles, so it's something that lends itself to theft. It's viewed like any other article, and hence kfiras edus of karka is kfiras mamon. And we've seen so many times already that constitutes a violation of shvuasa edus. Uman de potar, Rabbi Yochanan, who was the one that exempted in the case of mashbia ede karka, Omar Loch, he will tell you, Beha, regarding the matter of Ede Karka, of witnesses of that or testimony concerning land, Afilu Rabbi Eliezer Moide. Even the Tano Rabbi Eliezer, who said that Karka Nigzeles, will concede that in the realm of oath denial, or denial through oath, there would be exemption. Derachmono Omar. The Torah says, with regard to oaths, mi kol. And here Rashi quotes the pasuk. We have a little star. You can find it quickly. It says in the pasuk, O mi kol asher yishov alav l'sheker. And this and there it says v'chamishisa yosef alav es ashomo yovi. So the word mi kol is a limit. There's a limitation. This concept of swearing falsely. True, the psukim over there are dealing with the shvuas hapikadon, and here we're talking about shvuas haedus, but they are learned from one another, and there is an exclusionary expression, the mem, particularly the mem, that only regarding certain items will the testimony, will the denial of testimony or the denial of owing result in a sacrifice, but not hakol, not everything. And so in this case, land is not included. So that even though the Tana Rebbe Elazar holds kaka nigzelis in a case of straight out theft, you have to make restitution. Nevertheless, in the case of testimony concerning karka, false testimony, the Tana Rebbe Elazar will concede that there is exemption. Omar Rav Popo Mishmei de Rava. if you just look at the markings, you'll see you have Rav Papa here, and a few lines later, Rav Papi quoting Rava. So you have two versions, two quotes of Rava, and you'll see they're in opposition to one another. So Rav Papa says in the name of Rava, Masnisin Nami Daika, careful reading of the Mishnah will show us that there's no korban shvua when it comes to karkois. Dikotoni, in our Mishnah we saw a claim made from someone gonafte shor. You stole my ox. V'omer lo gonafte. No, I didn't. Mashbiachani. Well, then swear to that effect. V'omer omein. Yes, I confirm to that oath. And then it turns out he's lying. Chayev. He has to bring a sacrifice. V'ilu gonafte es avdi lo katoni. The source doesn't give you an example of having stolen my slave. And remember we said slaves are like karka. My time up. Why is slave not given as an example of a type of shvua when taken falsely leading to a sacrifice? Lav mishum de'eved iskish l'karkois. Is it not because that avodim slaves are, as we said before, compared to land? The ein mevi'in korban al kfira shibut karkos. And sacrifices are not brought when there is a denial of something that is land or land-based. That would support, then, that particular opinion that mashpia ede karka are exempt. Omar Rav Papi, Mishmei de Rava. Emo Seifa. Rav Papi comes to dismiss Rav Papa, and Rav Papi likewise quotes Rava and says, well, state the continuation of that source. Ze haklal. The following is the rule. And when you see an expression like that, ze haklal, it's an inclusionary expression. Matters or points beyond that which was already stated are being included. So what does the inclusionary rule say? Call him a shalem al pi atzmo, chayav. Those kinds of payments that you would pay based on your own confession. If you confess, for example, you confess, I stole your slave. So you have to pay back. You have to return him or give back the value. That's called mishalim al pi atzmo, chayav. That kind of payment, if you swear that you don't owe it, so then you're chayav. V'sheinu mishalim al pi atzmo. There are types of payments, for example, moida b'knas, knas type payments. If a person comes forward and says, I raped your daughter. Now, rape involves a knas of 50, selah. Or a person says, I stole and slaughtered your animal. That involves what's called kefel, arvav chamisha, multiple payments for the act of theft. Those are knas payments. If you come forth before witnesses come and confess those things, you don't have to pay. That's called einu mishalma piatzmo. Now, if you swear falsely, I don't owe you those things, potter, you would be exempt. Zehaklal osuemai, the zehaklal of the opening part of this source is coming to include what? Lav la sui gonaftes afdi. Is it not in fact coming to include a case like that where the charge is made, you stole my slave? Now, if you were to come forth and say, yes, I stole your slave, you would have to pay it back. So when you look at the seifa, you would conclude that gonaftes afdi, when denied through a shvua falsely, will result in a korban. The resha, as we were medayek, would have it not resulting in a korban. So the Gemara says at the top of Lamed Ches, Elo meho leko lamashmino. From our Mishnah, you really cannot come to any conclusions regarding this topic of mashbia ede karka. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.